Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike, and we're here for another podcast in the midst of an election season. And so we've done a couple of podcasts on local issues here in Nebraska. We've also done one podcast on a national issue that our nation faces and the biblical perspective on that national issue. And we're going to continue down that road today, highlighting a number of issues that our nation faces that the Bible speaks to. So these are not just political issues, but they're biblical issues, issues of specific concern where God gives specific direction to us as followers of Jesus. So just to set the stage for this podcast, again, we're talking about national elections, and I've said this numerous times before, but that the parties and the positions of the parties and the positions of the people running for office are far more important than the personalities of the people. We dove into that a little bit in recent podcasts concerning the private lives of various politicians and whether or not what part that would play in our voting. But we've said, my perspective is that their positions are far more important than their personalities or how many tweets they send out or whether they have word salads or whatever the situation might be with various politicians, because their positions are going to determine who they choose to work around them. As we've seen with both political parties' candidates for president, they've both chosen vice presidents, and that choice of vice president can tell a lot about their positions and about how they would govern the country. Thousands upon thousands of others will be put into place by these people if they are elected, particularly as we think about the presidency. The Bible speaks to many, many issues that our country faces, but clearly speaks to some more than others. And we started out a couple of podcasts ago talking about the issue of life. For two reasons, I believe that's the most important issue. Number one, it's life. Without life, what do you have? You have nothing. And so life is extremely important. It's God's gift to us. The Bible's very, very, very clear about that. And so we need to be clear as followers of Jesus about that. But secondly, I've found that if a politician is right about life, they tend to be right about a lot of other things. And I don't mean right or left wing. That's not my point there. But they tend to be correct. If they're correct about the issue of life, if they understand God's gift of life from the moment of conception to the moment of natural death, and if their policies are in alignment with that, they tend to be correct about many other issues. Just tends to be. So it's kind of a great barometer as you walk into the voting booth or as you vote from home or however it is you vote. So we did a whole podcast on the issue of life. Today we're going to cover five more issues, and we're going to see, we'll kind of run through these fairly quickly, but we can expound on them at some other time if the situation warrants it. So let's begin with the next issue that I have on the screen. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're not, that's okay. We're going to go through them. The next issue is our sexuality, God's creation of us as male and female. We are created, every human being is created in the image of God. Of course, that flies in the face of the beliefs about evolution, that were evolved from apes or whatever it might be, that you know, each one of us is created uniquely individual, special, in the image of God, with the same value as every other human being. And we are created male and female. So that speaks to a lot of issues in our culture. And as we elect those in authority over us, we want them to have the right view of, the correct view, the biblical view of God's creation of us as not just spirit beings inhabiting a body, but as embodied people created as male or female. And all the attendant things that go along with that. In addition, the scripture is very clear that God is the author of marriage. That marriage given to us by God is to be between one man and one woman for life. That is the way God has designed us to work best. That's the way God's designed us to live. Obviously, we fall short of that. All of us fall short of that in some way or other, I'm guessing, myself included. But that's the ideal. And so as we elect people, we want them to understand those truths of Scripture, that God's created us male and female, that God's created marriage. He's the author of marriage. We can't change it. It's not ours to change. And marriage is to be between one man and one woman for life. Now, a lot of politicians today, on both sides, both major parties, don't have those views. When we find one that does, wow, latch on to that person. That person understands our humanity, understands who we are, understands our identity, understands our sexuality. Extremely important as they govern and as they make laws in our land. The next issue is race. And this one, I was blessed to grow up in a family where they really had the same view of race as Martin Luther King Jr., I think, as I read Martin Luther King Jr.'s works. He, of course, got his view of race from Scripture, and that is that there's one human race. I was taught from, I never was taught otherwise, that no matter what your skin color is, you are created in the image of God and of equal value with me, whatever my skin color is. It doesn't matter. And I should treat all people equally, no matter what their race. It shouldn't even be a factor. And so that's how I was brought up. And I believe that's the, not just because I was brought up that way, but that's the biblical view, that there's one human race, all descended from Adam and Eve, all descended from Noah. And Mrs. Noah, I like to think of her as named Joan. She was on the ark after all. But we're all descended from Noah and, well, not really Joan of Arc, but Mrs. Noah and their three sons and their wives. So we're all one human race. And so candidates that try to tout racial differences, try to divide us by race, those are candidates that I have a lot of trouble with, because they simply stir up trouble in our nation. All right, how about understanding the role of government? Do the candidates that we're voting for understand the role of government? The Scripture is very clear on what the role of government is, that God instituted government. It's not a human creation. God instituted nations. The Tower of Babel in Genesis. God instituted nations. God instituted government for a purpose. And the specific purpose of government is this. Romans chapter 13. To protect the innocent and to punish the guilty. That is, in a nutshell, the role of government. To protect the innocent, to punish the guilty. And so that impacts policies all over in terms of the criminal justice system, in terms of our borders, protecting the innocent, and punishing the guilty. It has all sorts of implications for us as we think about who we elect to govern us. So far we've gone over life, sexuality, and our identity as human beings, male and female. We've gone over race, the role of government. Chances are good that you will find very, very few candidates, even on those four issues, that have a biblical worldview. I certainly hope that you have a biblical worldview on those issues, on those items before us, and that you are growing in your understanding of a biblical worldview of those four things: life, sexuality slash humanity slash identity, race, and the role of government. Next one. Two more, care for the poor. Scripture is very, very clear that we are to be people who care for the poor. We could do podcast after podcast just simply reading Scripture verses. There's so many of them, particularly in the Old Testament, particularly in the prophets of the Old Testament, condemning Israel for not caring for the poor, the widow, the orphan among us. So, there you go. The politicians need to understand the importance of caring for the poor. Now, politicians and we also, as biblical Christians, need to understand how God has set this up, how God has designed this. Care for the poor in the Scripture is commanded to two entities. Individuals. God commands individuals to care for the poor. So that's you. That's me. To care for the widows, to care for the orphans, to Well, Jesus talks about visiting those in prison, right? When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. So those are commands to individuals. And in addition, the church. The church is commanded to care for the poor as well. And when I say poor, widows, orphans, the whole bit. Those who have immigrated to our country, legally or illegally, if they're poor around us, we are commanded to care for them. Of course, that is juxtaposed with when you break the law, then comes the role of government in that area. But nevertheless, if you have an immigrant in your life that you know, you're commanded to care for them. And the church is commanded to care for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and so forth, in whatever situation we find ourselves in. So those things can kind of seem to be at odds with one another, but I think different spheres have different roles. The government has one role with respect to those who are here illegally, who have immigrated here illegally, and the church and individuals have a different role. So we need to balance that out and know what your role is. And in our case, I'm guessing I'm talking to most of you as individuals, as members of Jesus Christ Church, we're commanded to care for the poor. The government is never commanded to care for the poor in Scripture. Never once does God say, here's the role of government. The role of government is to decide who is poor and who is, I guess the opposite of that would be rich. And the government is called upon to take money from those who are rich to give to those who are poor. We'll talk about that in a moment under the title of economics. But if you think about it, if someone takes from the rich and gives to the poor, that's stealing. Those things, that money, those possessions belong, in this case, to the rich. And to for someone, entity, a person, the government, to say, well, you have too much. We're going to take what you have and we're going to give it to this other person who we think doesn't have enough. That violates the seventh commandment in the Lutheran numbering of the commandments, thou shalt not steal. And so that's why I believe the government is never commanded to care for the poor. In addition, as you look at government caring for the poor, it does a very poor job of caring for the poor. Individuals, churches, organizations like in Lincoln, People City Mission, do a much better job. City Impact do a much better job of caring for those who are less fortunate among us. They do it without tax dollars going to them, without taking from one to give to another. They do it out of voluntary people voluntarily giving in order to bless others. And they can have a lot more personal blessing that way. So we've gone a long way as a country away from that idea, beginning probably, I don't know, Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, sped up quite a bit with FDR and Lyndon Johnson, and then even to this day, gone quite a bit further. And so to rewind all that would take a Herculean effort, and it would take a whole reorganization of our thinking as Americans, because we have really, over the last 100+ years, begun to think of the government as the one who should care for the poor. And instead, we need to reorient our thinking to realize that it's you and me. It's the church that is called to care for the poor. All right. Last item on my list, if you're watching on YouTube, is economics, taxation, and debt. And we've already dealt with this a little bit under care for the poor. But the scripture has a lot to say about economics, about money, about our handling of money. Scripture talks a lot about debt and how difficult it is for those who go into debt. And you think about the national debt of our nation, I can't even fathom the national debt and what we are doing to our children, and even more so to our grandchildren. The size of our national debt, we need to deal with that. And yet, I don't really hear any political party dealing with it, talking about it. And yet there it is. It's going to crush us eventually. Taxation. The Bible warns back in the days of Samuel, as Israel wanted a king, and they got a king, King Saul, but Samuel, the prophet, warned the people and said, if you have a king, if you set up a king like this, have a government like this, they will tax you up to 10% of your income. Well, of course, I think the taxation, if you count all the taxes we pay today, are in the neighborhood of 40, 50, 60% of our income and growing, because our debt continues to grow as well. In fact, I heard a statistic last week that the interest payments on our national debt are now exceeding the money spent on defense. Well, the role of government is to defend the innocent. That is you and me, from foreign adversaries, from domestic adversaries as well. And yet, we've gotten so much debt that now our interest payments exceed the payments being made to carry out the biblical function of government, which is to protect the innocent. So economics is a big deal. Do our leaders understand what God says about economics? We mentioned about taxation and care for the poor, and it's the government's role to care for the poor, or is it the individual's role, the church's role to care for the poor? When the government taxes us and uses that money for the common good. So, for instance, we pay taxes, and then our community is educated through our school system. That is for the common good. Or another example, kind of really clear example, would be roads and bridges and infrastructure, if you will. When the government taxes us and builds roads and bridges and infrastructure, that is for the common good. So that kind of taxation is not taking from one to give to another, if you're following that logic. But when the government decides, well, these people have too much and these people don't have enough, and so we're going to take from the ones that we think have too much and we're going to give it to the ones who don't have enough, what right do they have to do that? No right at all. That's just legal stealing. From one group to give to another group is what it is, ultimately. And yet, that's what we've kind of gotten used to as a culture, as a society. So, we need to, I guess, the first step is think biblically about that and then begin to hopefully have those views start to permeate the culture, the understanding that the reason people get frustrated with that, the reason that the poor don't benefit from that, the reason that those who have money are frustrated with that is because it's unbiblical. And as we get back to a more biblical worldview, we can begin to govern ourselves in a more biblical way. And that's how God's created us to live. So, quite a bit there on care for the poor and economics and taxation and debt. And yet, I think those are topics that I think we perhaps haven't thought through really biblically as much as we have thought through issues and talked about issues of life, issues of our sexuality and race and that kind of thing. So thought I would spend a little bit more time on those as we close out. Bottom line is our first responsibility as Christians is to think biblically about these things, to grow in our understanding of what God says to us in Scripture about these things, to realize that these things are not only political things. They are political in the sense of they govern our life, they concern our life together in the polis as a group of people living with one another. But they're biblical things, and the church needs to address these things. And so we're doing it on the podcast. This is not just something we're making up, talking about politics. The church talks about politics because so many political issues are biblical issues, as these are. And once we think about these biblically, then we need to search for candidates who understand these things. And if we can't find them, and I would say of these six issues that we've talked about, there's no candidate for president that certainly understands all of these, certainly lives all of these out, that's for sure. Maybe one lives them out better than another, but none of them get it correct, and no political party that gets all these correct either. Some political parties may be closer to one and closer on the other, but we need to begin to influence, use our influence in the political sphere, because as we live biblically, we live in harmony with how God's created us, and that's a blessing not only to us, but to the culture around us. Well, thanks for listening to the podcast today. I want to encourage you to get out and vote. Make sure you vote. Be informed. Vote. Christians, it's simply our duty to vote, and it's our privilege to vote. We need to vote, and so encourage you to make sure you get to vote, whether it's early voting, and encourage that at this point, getting to the polls on election day, however it works for you, but get out and vote. Very important that we do that as Christians to be able to influence the polis, the politics of our nation. That's what we got for you. Encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this or other podcasts. Let us know other things that you thought we should have talked about that are national issues that we face and what God's word says about those things. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.